Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil. Goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can offend because your word is thin. One that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. When the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most, I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. I want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. 'Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live, totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is a heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go. Hallelujah. God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding me back, and I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining the Rise and Shine for Jesus ministry. This is our noonday hour of power where we share the word of prayer. We share the word of God. We have prayer, and we give God the glory for allowing us to gather one more time. I'm going to open up with the foundational scripture for today's message, and then I'll have a prayer and go straight into the message. For those of you that have gathered today, thank you so much for joining me. Our scripture is found in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and I will be beginning at the first verse. Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this word in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And we thank you for that last verse that says, but he was wounded. He there means Jesus, your son, your only begotten son. And God, your word tells us in John 3:16 that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Jesus sacrificed for us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon your son. The chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus, and your word tells us that with his stripes, we are healed. So, Father, we thank you today for releasing the spiritual illumination of your word in every area where everyone is in need of healing today. We thank you for releasing your miracle healing power. Father, we ask that you touch the hearts and minds of your people today. Father, I thank you for your word that will not come back void, because your word says that Jesus bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So Jesus went through some things for us. And God, sometimes we go through things, and we don't always handle things the way Jesus did, because we are not Jesus. We are not God. But we are your children, and we recognize that you have given us power. You have given us power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, God. So we thank you today. We thank you for helping us to understand who we are in you and what Jesus' death on the cross provided for us. We thank you for the benefits that we received through Jesus' death on the cross, through his stripes. We thank you that by his stripes we are healed. So heal our minds today. Heal our emotions today. Heal our hearts today, God. Heal everything that is broken today. And Father, I pray that you will speak through me. Let me decrease so that you may increase. in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So today's message is entitled, Did You Know Jesus Was Despised? Jesus was despised. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was scorned. Jesus was disrespected. And I don't want to go too fast. I want to go back to Jesus being despised. And what does it mean to be despised? And have you ever been despised? Has anyone ever looked down on you with great disdain and they just had this look in their eyes like they just hated you? And they didn't even have a reason to feel that way. Well, a lot of times we are despised. A lot of times we are rejected. And a lot of times people look down on us. But guess what? Jesus was despised. We just read it in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. He endured a lot of things for us. And guess what? Jesus didn't defend himself. Jesus didn't rise up in his flesh and curse somebody out. Jesus didn't rise up in the flesh and punch somebody. He was a humble man. And Jesus provided a wonderful example to us as to how we can respond to the mistreatment of other people. But the one thing that I want to bring out is, if you have been despised, if you are being despised, if you have been rejected, you are in a good place because they despise Jesus. And if you love Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, listen, you have to prepare yourself to be despised. You have to prepare yourself to be rejected. And who likes to be despised? Who likes to be rejected? Nobody does. But if we would humble ourselves like Jesus did, Jesus will help us. The Holy Spirit will comfort us. The Holy Spirit will counsel us. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to respond to the mistreatment of those that despise us. So what does despise mean? Despise is to be treated with scorn, contempt, and disdain. When you are despised, you are abhorred and treated as worthless and without value. Wow. Here we have the King of Kings that was abhorred and treated as worthless and without value. Now, as I think about without value, reflect on Jesus' birth, because Jesus was born in a manger that was full with animals. And he was King of Kings, and he was Lord of Lords, but he was born in a manger, meek and lowly. Jesus was still King. He was still Lord. And they had no room for his mother, Mary, and her husband, Joseph. They turned them down everywhere they went. Rejection. So Jesus, not only was he despised, not only was he abhorred, only was he treated with contempt and great disdain, Jesus knew rejection when he was in his mother's womb. Because when Jesus and when Joseph and Mary was trying to find a place, because she was in labor and it was time for her to give birth, no one had room for them. No one had time for them. But the innkeeper said, I have room in the manger. And because Joseph and Mary was not prideful people, they took what was available to them. And in that manger, she gave birth to her son Jesus. But the point I'm making is when Jesus was inside of Mary's womb, he experienced rejection because Mary experienced rejection. When they rejected Mary, they also rejected Jesus because Jesus was inside of her womb. He was not born yet. So now Mary gives birth in the manger. Jesus is born, and we all know the story. The three wise men, they came and they brought gifts to Jesus. Some people love Jesus, some people reverence Jesus, and some people honor Jesus. But those that did not like Jesus, they despised him. And when you despise something, you treat it with scorn. You treat it with contempt and great disdain. So who has treated you with great disdain today? Who is despising you? Who has rejected you? Contempt is bitter scorn. It's willful disobedience or open disrespect. Now, there's an old song, and I know we all know it, and I don't know the name of it, but it talks about backstabbers. Matter of fact, that is the name of it. You know, backstabbers, they talk about you behind your back because they really are cowards, and they can't say what they need to say to you, to your face. So they talk about you behind your back. But we have some people that's really bold, and they will blatantly tell you to your face what they don't like about you or what they said about you. So we have an open disrespect and we have a closed disrespect. So either way you look at it, it's not good. And you have to stop for a moment and say, okay, why does this person feel this way about me? And you perform self-examination. And did I do anything to deserve this? Did I say anything? Did I do anything to offend this person? Perform self-examination and you realize that you didn't do anything to harm this person, then it's a possibility that you did hurt them, but you're not aware that you hurt them. So the right thing to do, and this message is really about dealing with conflict and dealing with being despised and being mistreated and being rejected and learning how to respond in a positive way to negative actions towards you. So once you perform self-examination and you realize that there is nothing you did wrong, you see, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. All Jesus did was teach and preach and he healed people. And they were hated. He was hated because of that. Now, for those of us that are following Jesus, that love healing people, teaching and praying and helping people, guess what? Some people hate you just because you're helping somebody, just because you're walking in Jesus' footsteps. If Jesus was despised, we are going to be despised. Don't have to allow the mistreatment of other people to steal our joy. So we have people that will openly disrespect us, and we have people that will disrespect us under the table. They hide and do it. And so we have gossipers, we have slanderers, we have busybodies that love to get into other people's business and to tell people business. And it starts a lot of problems. And a lot of times people are despised, rejected, and people are looked down on because of people being busybodies and minding other people's business. So Jesus was despised. He was treated with contempt, and he was treated with great disdain. And when you are treated with great disdain, you are scornfully rejected. That means you are really, really being treated bad, and there is nothing nice about it. And rejection is some of the most, people that have been rejected have suffered some of the most painful pains, because rejection makes you feel unwanted. Rejection is to refuse to accept something or someone. Reject is to throw away. Reject is to discard. Reject is to get rid of. And reject is to disregard. So when they had no room for Jesus, they rejected him. They refused to accept his mother, Mary, and Joseph. But the innkeeper did have room in the inn. So no matter what you are going through, where somebody has rejected you, somebody has accepted you, and God always makes a way of escape. But Jesus was despised. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was treated with great contempt. And my question to you today is, have you been rejected? Have you been despised? Have you been treated with contempt and bitter scorn? And how did you respond to it? So a few moments ago, I said people will say or do things to hurt you. Sometimes they'll say it to your face. Sometimes they'll say it behind your back. And there's a saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I don't agree with that, because this is October, and this month is just about over, but October was Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And domestic violence covers a wide range of topics. And most people, when you hear domestic violence, you're thinking about physical abuse, you're thinking about sexual abuse, but there is psychological abuse, there is mental abuse, there is emotional abuse. And then there is verbal abuse. And verbal abuse hurts. When you call people names, it hurts. It kills their spirit. When you talk negative to a person or about a person, you are speaking curses to that person, and you are tearing them down versus building them up. And as believers, we are to build people up, but a lot of times we tear people down by the things that we say. Now, physical abuse is painful, but that woman receives a black eye. Of course, she's going to hurt. She's going to hurt. She's going to feel rejected. She's going to feel despised in the eyes of her abuser, because there is something, and pay attention to this, because he sees something in her that he despised within himself, but he's taking it out on her. So now he's going to punch her in her face, and now she has a black eye. Now she feels rejected. She feels despised. She feels unworthy, and somewhere in her mind, she feels as though it's her fault, and it's not her fault. He doesn't have control of his anger or whatever it is that's bothering him underneath the surface. So she's struggling to understand why she got this black eye, and her eye hurts, and she may put some ice on it, but eventually her bruise is going to go away. But she will never forget what he did to her, because he hit her, and she lost respect for him. But she's still healing. So the black eye lasts for about a week, maybe 2 weeks, and so the scar is gone, the blackness is gone, the blueness is gone, and we no longer see the signs of the physical abuse. But internally, she is aware that she had a black eye. So emotionally, she is scarred, And then the negative words that he spoke to her when he was abusing her verbally before he hit her. All of this worked together to kill her spirit. And so the spirit of rejection is now working and over. Goal is to make her feel unworthy and to make her feel without value. Now, Jesus was abused physically. Jesus was abused mentally. Jesus was abused emotionally. And Jesus was abused verbally. They taunted Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They laughed at Jesus. They spit on Jesus. They beat Jesus beyond recognition. And we could not tell who or what Jesus was, because all you saw was flesh and blood. You couldn't make out, is this a man? Is this a woman? Who is this man? Who is this person that has been beat beyond recognition? Jesus was beat beyond recognition for you. And he was beat beyond recognition for me. Jesus was physically abused for you. Jesus was physically abused for me. So when the word says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If you ever really thought about it, you know, I don't know about you, but I ask questions, okay? How was Jesus acquainted with grief? How was God, how was he despised, and how was he rejected of men, and how was Jesus a man of sorrows when he is God, when he is King of Kings? Your word tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And God, we've been learning that Jesus was the greatest love offering ever. Jesus was the living sacrifice. So how is it that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief? How is it that he was despised and rejected of men? Well, when they beat him, he was acquainted with grief. When they rejected him, when they despised him, the most disrespectful thing you can do to a person is to spit on them. Now, when I gave the definition of contempt, and I said willful disobedience or open disrespect, they openly disrespected Jesus when they spit on him. I don't know about you, but and I try to follow God's laws, but if somebody spit on me, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I'm going to turn the other cheek. God has to give me enough grace that day not to defend myself, because if somebody spit on me, I can't say what I'm going to do. But that's the most disrespectful thing you can do. Jesus kept his cool. Told you, I don't know what I would do. But if I be honest with you, I'm probably going to hit that person. And then I'll have to repent. And God knows my heart. That's what we always say. God know my heart. Well, God understand why I did what I did. Yes, God understands, but that is not an excuse to do what we want to do. But that's why we thank God for his grace and his mercy. But I'm trying to make this thing real. I'm trying to make it as personable as I can, because Jesus was a man of sorrows. And when you think the context in which Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief,
We have to look at the sufferings of Christ. We have to look at the abusive behavior towards Jesus. We have to look at how Jesus was mistreated. We have to look at how Jesus was rejected and despised by men. Did Jesus deserve to be mistreated? Did he deserve to be rejected? Do you deserve to be mistreated? Do you deserve to be rejected? How would you respond if somebody spit on you? So I want to go to Matthew 26, verse 66 and 68 for a moment. They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" So in case you never saw domestic violence or physical abuse in the gospel, there's nothing new under the sun. Jesus was mistreated. Jesus was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. So I ask the question, how was he acquainted with grief? How was he a man of sorrows? First, they say he's guilty of death. Guilty of death, what did he do? He died for us. And I'm talking, you know, he wasn't, they didn't put him on the cross yet, but Jesus' goal, he knew he was going to die on the cross for us. When he left heaven to come down here, when he traveled through Mary's birth canal, Jesus knew that he was going to have some time on this earth. Jesus knew that he was going to teach us some things, that he was going to experience some things, and Jesus knew that he was going to be a man of sorrow. He knew he was going to be mistreated. He knew they was going to spit on him. That word buffeted. And I'm going to read it again. It says, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Jesus knew they was going to do this. But guess what? He was strong and of good courage. Jesus didn't defend himself. He could have dealt with all of them with one word. He could have lifted up his hand and all of it would have stopped. But that wasn't the plan. And what does that have to do with my next point? Maybe you being buffeted. Maybe somebody hitting you with the palm of their hands. And maybe not physically, but maybe they hitting you with the palm of their hands through vicious words, through malicious words, through gossip and slander, through poisonous words. You know, somebody can slap you in your face with a word, with a negative word, with a poisonous word. Vipers speak negative words. Vipers can slap you in your face. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Yet he had love in his heart. Every time they scorned him, every time they mocked him, every time they laughed at him, every time they despised him, every time they rejected him, Jesus in his heart was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He didn't get angry. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get filled with resentment. That root of bitterness didn't grow up. He had nothing but love in his heart. He never displayed behavior that wasn't true to his nature. He never tried to defend himself. So we talked about what it means. Let's talk about what it means to be accepted. Because when we accepted Jesus Christ into our heart as Lord and Savior, we became saved and we became members of the body of God, God's family. We was adopted into God's family and we became members of the body of Christ. And we are many members, but one body. God accepted us. Jesus accepted us. And all of our flawed conditions Jesus loved us so much, he still died for us, for every sin we ever committed and every sin we ever will commit. And guess what? At one time or another, we, and I do say we have all despised someone and we have rejected someone. We have mistreated someone. We have talked about someone. I have never spit on anybody. I don't know about you. But I have talked about people, and probably you did too. You see, we must learn how to stand accountable for our actions. So all of the things that happened to Jesus, Jesus didn't do any of those things, but we did at different times. Because in our flawless, you know, in our weakness, in our humanness, in our inability to be led by the Spirit, we display behavior that is not true to our nature. So what do we do now? Because when we learn better, we do better. So I'm quite sure you probably took the stroll down memory lane and a heart that forgives. So now I'm going to connect the song that we listened to before we opened up today. I want a heart that forgives. At some point, we had a Jesus encounter in our lives. And so we were able to forgive those that hurt us, and we was able to ask forgiveness from those that we have hurt. One, because we humbled ourselves before God, and we cried out to him, and we asked him to forgive us for our sins, forgive me for my behavior, forgive me for the things that I said, forgive me for the things that I did. Forgive me, God, for being filled with contempt and great disdain for people that hurt me. And you know what? Some of the like meanest disdain and bitterness and rejection, it comes from being hurt. It comes from being wounded. Hurt people hurt people. So our natural reaction is to strike back in fear, but that's not always the right thing to do. But in our humanness, typically that's our first reaction. But when we are led, when we are led by the Holy Spirit, we learn to do, which I often say on the prayer line, stop, drop, and pray. When we were younger and, you know, the firefighters in school and everything, when there's the fire drill, they teach us stop, drop, and roll. But no, when you in a fire, and it's not like a fire, but, you know, you're in a situation and it could pop off any moment, stop, drop, and pray. And give it to God. And ask God, say, God, this fire is burning bright. I am so angry. This person did this. This person said that. And I really want to defend myself, but I really don't want to defend myself. So I'm asking you to give me peace and calm. And I want you to handle this situation for me. Grant me the grace to be still and know that you are God, because I don't want to defend myself. God, I don't want to get in the way of what you are doing. I don't want to openly disrespect this person because they disrespected me. God, I really don't operate in the spirit of hurt in retaliation for them hurting me. Now, this is real in this maturity. In our immaturity, we did lash out and we did defend ourselves and we did hurt that person. But in our maturity, we're quick to say, you know what, I'm sorry. If I did anything to offend you, you know, please forgive me. And then you walk away. And if that friendship, that relationship, whatever it is, if it can be restored, it can be restored. But also understand that forgiveness doesn't mean restoration. Sometimes you just need to separate. And to be honest with you, sometimes people laugh in your face and they talk about you behind your back because they really don't like you and they despise you. And they really don't want to have anything to do with you, but they stay connected to you just so that they could know what's going on in your life and they could use it against you, and they hope and pray against you. They hope and pray that you will fall short of God's glory and that you won't accomplish the things that you're trying to accomplish so that they can laugh at you, so that they can despise and reject you and say, ah, ha, 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 ha. But we're old enough now and we're wiser. God doesn't want us to be ignorant to the tools that the enemy used against us. So let me go back to accept. God accepted us. When we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior, we were accepted into the body of Christ. We were adopted into God's family. So accept is to receive willingly, to admit to a group or a place, is to consent. Or if you're paying for something, if we at the market, you got your groceries, then you wanted the sales representative, the sales associate will accept your payment. A signed agreement, accept. So Jesus willfully died on a cross for you and me. And get this, Jesus willfully died on the cross for those that despised him and those that rejected him. You see, Jesus consented to pay the price. Jesus' death on the cross paid the price. Jesus consented to pay the price. Jesus consented to pay the price. And I'm going to say that again. Jesus consented to pay the price. Jesus became the sacrifice, the living sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross. He consented to be the price to be paid, his life on the cross, his death, his life, his death, his burial. Jesus gave up his life for you and me. So he was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrow. And the word of God says, and he was acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. So we even turned our backs against him. We turned away from him. Now, when they were preparing to take Jesus to the cross, and Peter, you know, Jesus told Peter he was going to deny him three times, and then the cock was going to crow, and Peter didn't understand. He didn't believe that he would do that, but sure enough, when they confronted Peter, Peter denied Jesus, and he said, "I don't know him," and then two other chances came, and he said, "I don't know the man. I don't know him." And the cock crew. You see, at that moment, Peter rejected Jesus. He didn't despise him, but he rejected knowing him because he knew what could happen to him. He knew that Jesus was in a bad situation, and he wasn't sure he could endure, that he could go through what Jesus was getting ready to go through. So Peter lied. But you know what? Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. Jesus knew that Peter was going to reject him. But God still loved him. Now my voice is changing. My voice is getting a little softer. Because at one point or another, we have denied Jesus. We have rejected Jesus, and the cock did crow. And it didn't stop Jesus from getting up on that cross and dying for you and for me and for every other brother and sister in Christ that have accepted him, and to those that have yet to accept him. Jesus consented to pay the price. You see, he accepted our sins, and in exchange, he gave us life eternally. He rescued us. He saved us. He gave us another chance. He forgave us. The blood of Jesus saved us. The blood of Jesus healed us. The blood of Jesus delivered us. The blood of Jesus set us free. But yet we still walk around wounded because someone despised us, because someone rejected us, because someone treated us with great disdain. Brothers and sisters, today is a day of healthy confrontation. And today is a day for you to say, "God, I'm really ready to let go of these people that have great disdain for me, great contempt for me, these people that have rejected me, these people that have despised me. And God, I don't even know why. I don't even know what I did to deserve their disdain. But everything I've been carrying around and the awe and the malice that was growing in my heart towards them, God, I want to give it to you today because Jesus took it for me when he was on the cross. And I didn't quite understand it all. But as the word says, that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So not only did, you know, Jesus acquainted with grief, but he bore our griefs. Now, when people hurt us, there are many, many reasons that we grieve. Most times we grieve the loss of a loved one. When someone close to us passes, they die, and we grieve their death. But sometimes we grieve a hurt. We grieve a pain. Sometimes people can do stuff to us, and along the context of what we're talking about, you know, people will despise you. They will reject you. They will mistreat you. And sometimes that will grieve you. And again, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So let's talk about bullying for a moment. Bullying from a biblical perspective. Haman, he despised Mordecai. And Mordecai refused to bow down to him because Mordecai was faithful to God. And Mordecai wasn't going to bow down to no false god. But Haman was furious. Furious. He hated Mordecai. Now, everybody else in the whole province, they bowed down to Haman, except for this one man. Now, he had an important job to do. And to be honest with you, he had more stuff to do than to be worried about one man that refused to bow down to him. So pride entered into Haman's heart. And Haman devised a wicked device to kill Mordecai. We're talking about people that have great disdain in their heart towards you. We're talking about people that mistreat you, people that have great contempt, people that cause you grief. You see, Haman was grieving Mordecai. Mordecai did not like what Haman was doing to him. And guess what? Haman smacked Mordecai in the face as well. But Mordecai followed Jesus' footsteps. He did not defend himself. And I'm going to put all of the scriptures up on the board. But Mordecai did not defend himself when Haman smacked him in his face. So Haman devised this wicked device, talking to his wife and his friend. They told him, build the gallows and just kill Mordecai and just go on with your life. I'm paraphrasing. So the very gallows that Haman established to kill Mordecai was the gallows that he was hung up on, and he died. And we cannot take matters into our own hands by putting our mouths on other people or devising devices to hurt other people. And really, he was conspiring to murder Mordecai. So when we're dealing with disdain, when we're dealing with contempt, contemptuous behavior will lead you to murder someone. It will lead you to assassinate someone. It will lead you to take matters into your own hands, and they that dig a ditch will fall in it. It's a familiar song that we all know by Bob Marley, but that is scriptural. It is a biblical principle. So anybody that's digging a ditch against you for you to fall into it, they are going to fall into that ditch. Mordecai did not die on the gallows that the one that despised him created for him, but he died on it. So let's tie this in with, Jesus being abused. And Mordecai was an example of someone that was abused. Now, another example of someone being despised is found in Genesis, the 16th chapter, the 3rd and the 5th verse. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So here we have the word despised again. And Sarah was despised by her mistress. Her mistress, she was her slave, yes. And she was obedient, but she didn't want to get pregnant. She was happy just doing her regular job. But she despised Sarah. But why did she despise Sarah? Sarah got impatient and took matters into her own hands, and she did not wait for the fulfillment of the promise, because God promised Abraham that Sarah was going to have a baby. But God took too long, and Sarah got impatient. And when Sarah got impatient, she presented Hagar to her husband. And when he went into Hagar, she got pregnant. And when she got pregnant, guess what happened? Oh, jealousy sprung up, and oh, girl, Sarah got jealous. And Sarah began to treat Hagar. So here we have grief again. Remember, we were talking about grief. She was so mistreating Hagar that Hagar was starting to grieve. You ever dread going to work because it's so much stuff going on your job? When you first got the job, you enjoyed going to work. You was happy to get there on time. But then you start slowing down, and it's like you dread going to work, and it's like you're just so grieved thinking about it because it's so much mistreatment. And the saddest thing of all is the dread going home. If you've been out working all day and it's the end of the day, and you just think about everything you can do to prolong going home because you're grieved in your spirit. You don't really want to be there because it's confusion, it's mayhem, it's no peace there, and you don't want to be grieved in your spirit. So you stay out as late as you can. Grieving. Hagar grieved the mistreatment of Sarah. So much so that she ran away, and God met her in the wilderness, and he asked her, what are you doing here? And when Hagar talked to God and told her, see, sometimes, not sometimes, all of the times, we need to go to God, and we need to tell on the people that hurt us. We need to tell on the people that mistreat us. We need to tell on the people that grieve us. Now, sometimes when you do the right thing, you will be rejected. Sometimes when you do the right thing, you will be despised. Hagar did the right thing. She was obedient to her master. She was Hagar's slave. She was her handmaiden. She didn't, she didn't rebel. She wasn't disobedient. She didn't say, I don't want to sleep with your husband. She was obedient. And out of her act of obedience, she was mistreated. And in so many words, like Jesus, she carried her sorrows and she carried her griefs, which led her to run away. So, again, my question is, what do you do when you are mistreated? How do you respond when you are despised? How do you respond when you despise for doing something that you didn't do? Jesus was scornfully rejected. Jesus was abhorred. Jesus was treated with disgust. Many disliked him, and many rejected Jesus. Jesus was a man of sorrow. Jesus was acquainted with grief. Jesus was spit on. Jesus was buffeted. Jesus was hit with the palm of their hands. With all that they did to Jesus, guess what? Jesus did not reject them. Jesus did not mistreat them. Jesus did not abhor them. Jesus accepted God's will for his life. So very important lesson to learn. Sometimes when we accept God's will for our lives, we will be abhorred. And that word abhor means hated. We will be hated. We will be mistreated, we will be rejected, and we will be despised. Once we gain proper understanding of that, and I'm not saying that it's going to hurt any less, but if we understand that there are some things that are going to happen to us, there are some trials, there are some tribulations, when we prepare our hearts to embrace the sufferings of Christ, because that's really what it is. You know, there's a praise and worship song that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Well, when we sing that song, we are really saying, giving God permission to do what he wants to do to make us into a living sanctuary, pure, you know, tried and true. That means you're going to go through some things. That means you're going to go through the fire. It means that you're going to have some Jesus accepted God's will for his life. He didn't defend himself. So am I saying, do we lie down and just let people walk over us? No. But there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And our goal to learn how to walk in the Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely, this is just a recap. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Have you been afflicted today? Have you been afflicted in the past? What did you do with that affliction? Did you give that affliction to God? Or did you sweep that affliction under the rug and it began to build up and it turned into bitterness and it turned into hatred and it turned into scorn and disdain and you began to despise somebody and you began to reject somebody because you didn't give it to God? And that's why the song was A Heart That Forgives. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of harboring stuff in my heart through the years. And I'm talking past tense because I've learned to give God all of those painful things that hurt me. And if anyone knows about being despised and being rejected, I do. And I'm not saying you don't. Because we all have a testimony. And I thank God that the word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But as I go back to that scripture, it says smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So even in your present condition right here, right now, even if you have an affliction, even if you have sorrows, even if you are grieving something right now, maybe you have been despised, maybe you have been rejected. Jesus died on the cross for all of it. And all you have to do today is give it to him because he already paid the price for it. He died on the cross for it. He accepted and paid your bill for the person that hurt you and for the person that you hurt. So now God wants you just to relinquish it, to give it to him. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. If you are grieving, excessively grieving today, if you are mourning over something from the past, or maybe it's something from the present, something hurt you, something wounded you, today is a day to let go and let God. Today is the day to give it to Jesus and say, Jesus, take this. I can't handle it. It's too heavy for me. I'm in agreement with what you did on the cross for me many, many years ago. And I know that by holding on to this grief and this sorrow and this rejection, that I'm putting you on that cross all over again. And I don't want to put you on that cross again. I know it was a once in a lifetime thing that you did for me, Jesus. But I want to be real with you. God, can I be real with you? Because I've been babying this thing for so long, it became a part of me. I've been wearing my hurt and pain like a badge of honor. So I need to relinquish it, and I don't need to baby it. I don't need to hold on to it, but I need to just be strong and just give it to you. But in giving it to you, God, I'm exposing myself, and I'm becoming so vulnerable, and I'm open to you, and you're going to see my nakedness, and you're going to see my brokenness, and you're going to see how hurt I really am. And I know my friends and my family and everything, they think I'm cool, and they think I got it all together. But, God, I'm about you. I'm about to reveal to you. I'm about to take this mask off and show you my weakness. I don't do that for nobody. But God, because of this word today, because of this message, because of your love for me, because of the obedience of your son, Jesus Christ, and the greatest gift he gave me by dying on the cross, I'm willing to get naked. I'm willing to take my mask off, God. I'm willing to give you the hurt. I'm willing to give you the pain. I'm willing to give you the mistreatment. I'm willing to give you all of my accusers, everyone that's been despising me, rejecting me, scorning me, afflicting me, buffeting me, hitting me with their palms, speaking negative words, sending curses to me, those that have tried to assassinate me. God, I forgive them right now in the name of Jesus, and I release them into your hands. Now, God, there are some situations and there are some things that I could candy coat and make it sound good, but God, I don't want to do that. I just want to be honest with you, God. There are some times where I despised and I mistreated some people too, and I repent, and I ask that you forgive me. And if it's possible for me to say I'm sorry and ask that person to forgive me, God, I thank you for giving me that opportunity. But for some, it may not be possible, so we just make it right with you, God, by asking forgiveness and touch their heart that they can forgive us. But we're not going to carry it anymore because Jesus carried it on the cross. So verse 53 says, and I'm coming to a close, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That means we didn't glorify him. We didn't edify him. Oh, yeah, today we'd be like, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Jesus on the main line. Call him up. Call him up. But guess what? When Jesus was walked to the cross on Golgotha's hill, we was not shouting, Jesus, oh, Hosanna. You see, he was acquainted with grief. And the next verse after that says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. So where was all of the people at, you know, when he was on the donkey and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Where were they at when Jesus was on his way to the cross, when he stood in the courtyard? What does it mean to be acquainted with grief? When you are acquainted with something, you are familiar with it. Jesus was familiar with grief because he bore our griefs. He bore our griefs. The whole world, the That's a lot of grief. He was acquainted with grief, but we hid our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't glorify him. Now, some people did, because we had those that was there. They was for Jesus. They was crying at the cross. Their heart was broken. Jesus was about to die, but they didn't know that he was going to resurrect, that he was going to arose, he was going to rise up from the dead, from the grave. So we had some people that did love him, that esteemed him, that edified him. And his mother Mary, that was rejected while he was in his womb, now she's standing at the cross watching him die on the cross for the remission of our sins, for everybody in this whole world. So now we see Mary being acquainted with grief. How well do you know Mary? How well do you know her, other than being the mother of Jesus? Because Jesus was rejected when he was in Mary's womb. So don't you know that Mary was also acquainted with grief? Mary was acquainted with grief when they mistreated Jesus, when they beat Jesus, when they spit on Jesus, when they mocked Jesus. Mary was acquainted with grief because she knew it was Jesus, that he was Lord, that he was King, but it was still her son. But now Jesus is on the cross and Mary is standing there and he is still Jesus and he is still Lord, but he is still Mary's son. So she's acquainted with grief. Are you acquainted with grief today? Acquainted is something you are familiar with. What are you familiar with today? Maybe you've been familiar and acquainted with grief, with sorrow, with mockery, with being despised. Maybe you've been acquainted with rejection. Maybe you've been so acquainted, so familiar, so used to being mistreated that you don't know what it's like to be treated right. Today is a day of divine reversals. Are you acquainted with Jesus? Do you know Jesus today? Do you know Jesus today? Do you know him personally? Do you know him intimately? Have you been despised? Have you been scornfully rejected? Have you been treated with disgust? Have you been discarded as worthless? Have you been spit on? Have you been buffeted? Have you been hit by the palm of your hand? Jesus was acquainted with grief. What are you acquainted with today? And who are you acquainted with? Grief is a deep sadness that was caused by bereavement, sorrow, hurt, or pain. Sorrow is mental suffering, anguish, a cause or expression of sadness or grief. Again, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. My last question is, have you embraced the sufferings of Christ? You see, with nails in his hands, Jesus cried for you and me. And with nails in his feet, Jesus set us free. Psalms 22, 22nd chapter of Psalms, verse 7 through 16. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gapped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So that brings me to the end of this message today. In Psalms 22, that's a prophetic glimpse into the cries of Christ. So before I read that scripture, I said, with nails in his hands, Jesus cried for you and me. And with nails in his feet, Jesus set us free. So Psalms 22, it ends, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. So this was a psalm that David, King David, wrote in the Old Testament. But then we have the fulfillment of this scripture, the New Testament. And today's message came from the Old Testament as well, with Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, in the 5th verse. And today's message was entitled, Did You Know That Jesus Was Despised? And the lines are open at this time. Thank you for joining us. This is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry Noonday Prayer. I pray that something said today has blessed you, has pricked your heart, and that God has your attention, and whatever it is that you need to give to Jesus today, give it to him so that he can heal you, deliver you, and set you free. The prayer line is open. Sir, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had the phone on mute. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. All How right. are you?
Okay, as usual, just for prayer for the truck drivers.
Okay. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for the truck drivers. Walter's prayer request is for truck drivers, which we always pray for truck drivers on Wednesdays. And we also pray for our youth and young adults. So we take this opportunity, Father, to say thank you for truck drivers all over this world. We thank you for Walter. We thank you for Reggie. We thank you for the Camachos. We thank you for Jamie. And we thank you for all of the truck drivers that we do not know their names. And, Father, we always pray for the truck drivers based on whatever the message was shared and based on what you placed on our hearts to pray for. So we lift up those truck drivers today that have been despised, that have been rejected, that have been mistreated, that are dealing with physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse. Father, we thank you for those that are dealing with psychological abuse and sexual abuse. And God, we thank you for those that are grieving. We thank you for those that are acquainted with grief today. We thank you for those that don't understand why they have been in this cycle of hurt and pain. And we thank you for releasing revelation knowledge to them. Father, we pray that you will open up their understanding and that they will understand, Father God, what is happening and what they need to do as they come before you and seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, so that all these things can be added unto them. I pray for the healing and deliverance of all truck drivers today. We cover the truck drivers with the precious blood of your son, Jesus Christ, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, from the top of their trucks, Father, their cabs, their trailers, on top of the truck, underneath the truck, their engines, their brakes. Father, we thank you, their gears. We thank you for going before them and making the crooked places straight. We thank you for Psalms 91, and we pray the prayer of protection over the truck drivers today. We thank you for being with them on the highways and the byways. We thank you for the truck drivers, God, that are in the mountains and they're driving in dangerous conditions, and those that are in the snowy and icy places. Father, we pray their protection right now in the name of Jesus, and we bind all accidents. We bind all truck suicides in the name of Jesus. Father, if there's anyone on the side of the roads that are waiting for a truck to come by. We thank you for your divine intervention right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for allowing that person to move back, and you send somebody there to minister to them and to help them get to a safe place. And we thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, for healing their minds and letting them know that they are valuable to you and that their life matters. We bind the spirit of suicide right now in the name of Jesus, and we bind the spirit of death, and we loose resurrection life, resurrection power. Father, we thank you for financial blessings, financial breakthrough for truck drivers. Thank you for blessing their homes. Thank you for blessing their wives. Thank you for blessing their husbands. Thank you for blessing their children. Thank you for giving their children favor in school, academic success, God. We thank you, Father, for healing the family of truck drivers. We thank you for those truck drivers that miss their families and that are new on the road and they feel a little homesick, God. We ask that you would make a way for them to connect with their loved ones and that you would comfort them and that you would comfort their families. Now, Father, we lift up our youth and our young adults to you. We cover them with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for being with them, for protecting them, for shielding them, for healing them. Father, we thank you for making a way of escape for those that are being mistreated, those that are despised, those that are being rejected. Father God, those that are acquainted with grief. We thank you for our youth that know sorrows. We thank you for our youth that have been buffeted. We thank you for our youth that are being hit with the palm of the hands of their enemies, oh God. Father, you know all of these things, and Jesus knew all of these things, and Jesus died on the cross for us, oh God. Jesus died for our young people. And Father, we pray this prayer of protection right now in the name of Jesus, because our young people are going through some things. And God, we rebuke the spirit of confusion and we bind it. We break it off of their minds right now, God. And we loose the spirit of peace, your peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you for allowing your mantle of peace to fall upon your young people, oh God. Father, we thank you for those young people that have decisions to make, oh God. We thank you for the young people that are being bullied. We thank you for those that are waiting to be initiated into these secret clubs and secret societies and in these gangs, oh God, because they want to fit in. They want to be a part of who's who. But God, close every door right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We cover them with the blood from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, and we release the power of the blood over their lives, oh God. And we thank you that they are receiving the healing power of the blood of Jesus right now. We thank you that their mindset is changing right now. We thank you that they're making the U-turn right now. We thank you that that drug dealer, that that bully, that that pimp, that girl, that boy, whatever the situation may be, God, they're going in the opposite direction. And we thank you for a divine U-turn. We thank you that you're leading them, God, unto your path of righteousness for your namesake. And we decree and declare that they shall be strong and of good courage. Father, we thank you for being a hedge of protection around them. Bless them in school, God. Bless them on their way going home. Bless them when they get home, oh God. Speak to their parents. Allow their parents to see, God, what is going on underneath the surface, and open up the way for healthy discussion and healthy confrontation where they will be at peace enough, and trust their parents enough to tell them what's going on, oh God. And we pray that you will give the parents wisdom to say the right words that will help their children, that will minister to them, oh God. And release a spirit of protection where that child will feel protected and not feel rejected, but feel accepted, God. So we just want to say thank you. We thank you for everybody that has been faithful with seeking your face, oh God. And we thank you for those that haven't been quite as faithful because they've been struggling with some issues in their lives and some hurts and some pains. And God, we just ask that you heal your people today. Father, let your miracle healing power flow freely. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Amen and amen.
So God bless you, Walter, and we will see you next Wednesday at 12 o'clock, and have a blessed day.
Okay, I'm going to call you when we hang up, okay?
Okay.
All right.